You have been faithful unto us for decades. You have worshipped through seasons of joy and sorrow. You have sung the hymns, prayed the prayers from the Book of Common Prayer, received Holy Communion week after week, and witnessed many changes in both the church and in the Australian society as a world. As our Diocese of Newcastle prepares for Synod to be this coming weekend, last week. As our Diocese of Newcastle prepares for Synod, today's reading from Romans invites us to remember who we are and whose we are. St. Paul writes, "We have been buried with Christ by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in a newness of life." My dear friends, this is one of the most powerful descriptions of the Christian life in the whole Bible. A priest was visiting a Sunday school class and asked, "Children, what must you do before you can be forgiven? What must you do before you can be forgiven?" One little boy prays, he said, and quickly replied, "Sin." Technically, he was not wrong. And Paul begins Romans 6 by asking a similar question. If God's grace forgives our sins, should we keep sinning so that we can receive even more grace? Paul's answer is immediate. By no means. By no means. Why? Because we Christians are not only forgiven people. We are transform people. Again, as a background, as we know, the city of Rome in Paul's day was the center of the greatest empire on earth, Roman Empire, so Rome. Roman society was marked by power, wealth, status, and often moral excess. Christians lived in a culture that frequently contradicted the values of Christ. Many of the early Christians, first Christians, had been pagans. Their baptism represented a dramatic break from their former way of life. Baptism was not merely a religious ceremony. It was a declaration of allegiance to Jesus Christ above every other loyalty. That's why we have heard those words in the Gospel, mother, father, son, daughter. Allegiance to Jesus Christ is even above loyalty to family members. And when Paul speaks of dying and rising with Christ, he is not speaking symbolically alone. He is describing a radical change of identity. The old life is gone, a new life is begun. And so, for the early Christians, this would cause them friendships, family ties, as mentioned in the Bible in our gospel reading, careers, and sometimes even their lives. A priest was explaining baptism to a group of children. He asked the children, "Why do we baptize babies? Why do we baptize babies?" Okay, this time, one little girl raised her hand and said, "Because they don't know any better yet." The priest laughed and replied, "Well, neither do most adults." In the African tradition, whenever we witness a baptism, we are reminded of our own baptism. Now, Some of us may have been baptized 70 or 80 years ago. You may not remember the day. You may not remember the weather. You may not remember who was there. But God remembers. God remembers your baptism. And God's promise remains as true today as it was then. So the Christian life is not simply about going to heaven someday. It is about living as resurrection people today. It's about living as people, as resurrection people today. One of the most inspiring Christian stories comes from John Newton. Newton spent much of his early life as a sailor involved in the slave trade. By his own admission, he lived far from God. During a violent storm at sea in 1748, John Newton cried out for God's mercy. His conversion was not instantaneous perfection. Change came gradually. Yet over time, God's grace transformed him completely. He eventually became an African priest and an advocate against slavery. Near the end of his life, when his memory was failing, Newton famously said, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. One, that I am a big sinner, and two, that Christ is a great Savior." He also wrote this beloved hymn. I'm pretty sure you're familiar.
Amazing Savior, greatest power of sin, I'm not
Newton's historian illustrates Romans 6 beautifully. He did not merely receive forgiveness, he became a new person through the grace of Christ. What does this mean for us? Many faithful Christians can fall into the habit of thinking that spiritual growth is mainly for younger believers. We might think, I've attended church for decades, I've served on committees, I've taught on Sunday school, I've received communion thousands of times, I listened to sermons also thousands of times. Surely the work is done. But Paul says otherwise. Every day is an opportunity. Every day is an opportunity to live more fully in the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Perhaps God is inviting us to forgive someone we have carried resentment toward for years. To pray more deeply, to encourage a younger generation of Christians, to become more generous, to speak words of hope rather than discouragement, to trust God with a future that sometimes may feel uncertain. Remember, resurrection life is not a one-time event. It is a daily promise. The diocese is preparing for synod and maybe discussions, maybe. And make all finances, mission priorities, governance, and different viewpoints. We'll see. It will be my first time to attend, right? but these matters are important for me, for us. But Romans 6 reminds us that the church's deepest identity does not come from structures, does not come from policies, or from debates. Our identity comes from Jesus Christ. We are people who have died and risen with Him. Whenever Christians disagree, we must remember that we belong to the same Lord. We share the same baptism, and we gather around the same Eucharistic table. The church flourishes not because everyone agrees on everything. The church flourishes because Christ unites us despite our differences. The question before Synod is not merely what should the church do. The deeper question is, how can we live more faithfully as people who have died and risen with Christ? The great theologians and the rites, the resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. In other words, Christ's resurrection is not only about the future, it is about God's new creation beginning here and participate, my dear friends, in that new creation. As I've said, many of you have walked with Christ faithfully for decades. You have weathered storms. You have buried loved ones. You have faced disappointments. You have remained faithful. So today's reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans is God's reminder that the Christian journey is never simply about maintaining old habits. It is about continually entering the new life Christ offers. Every morning, we are reminded to remember our own baptism. Every Sunday, we are invited to receive Christ in Holy Communion. Every day, we are invited to die a little more to selfishness and rise a little more into Christ's love. For because Christ has died, sin no longer has final word. Because Christ has risen, death no longer has the final word. And because we, my dear friends, belong to Christ, hope has always the final word. Amen.